You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. Today, Jason is actually out. He's gone on vacation with his family this week, so getting some R&R time there. But don't click off the episode because we've got another Smith for you, Ryan Smith. Ryan is a friend of mine that actually grew up around the area I did and has since gone on to do some pretty cool things with his life. In this episode today, we're going to talk about, really deal with the question, how do we live for Christ in difficult circumstances? There's a lot of applications for this conversation. I think of, you know, a student going into college for the first time where you don't necessarily have, you know, friends or faith community, or moving to a new area for work, or any other possible application in that sense. There are many of those times where we find ourselves in a different or new context, and the challenge then becomes, you know, how do we live a Christ life, like a Christ life in a context where we don't have good community. And so Ryan, why don't you start by first of all introducing yourself a little bit to our listeners? You haven't been on the podcast here before. And then share with us your personal testimony in the brief version of that. How did you come to know Christ and go from there?
Yeah, definitely. No, yeah, like you said, my name is Ryan Smith, and I grew up in a Christian home. Went and out, started working out in the regular world. I've done everything from doing security jobs to mill work. Went and got involved with an interesting organization. Has me currently working as an administrative executive assistant down here in Pensacola, Florida. That's been carried me all over. I've gone through Connecticut, Norfolk, Virginia, now down here in Pensacola, Florida. So a lot of diversity, a lot of different things. I've seen a lot of different people in different walks of life, an introduction to a lot of different perspectives on, like you said, a lot of challenges people have gone through as far as the struggles with interacting with different communities and different people groups. And a lot of things when you're dealing with that being in the world, it's difficult to kind of just go and merge your faith into other people's lifestyles and trying to go in and make that effective. But yeah, that's kind of my background.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. It's pretty cool to always see, you know, and hear the stories of people, their lives, and how they, first of all, you know, came to Christ originally, and then what that's meant, you know, in terms of their life. Here on the Faith Unpacked podcast, we primarily, you know, work in terms of helping people break down theological concepts or Christian understanding, doctrine understanding in a way that becomes applicable in real life, real world situations. And so this topic, I think, is a good one. It's one that, you know, we've been over the last several weeks talking about various topics that sort of intertwine with it a little bit. Last week we were talking about, you know, the Christian's relationship in the political realm, in terms of, you know, should Christians vote? How should they vote? What should they consider in making those decisions? And then this is more of the opposite side of that, which is, you know, how do I really, in a practical way, not just live out my faith, but also hold fast to a healthy walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in a context where maybe I don't have a good faith community, or I'm not really well rooted with other believers. In fact, you know, by nature of my job or my circumstance or in college, I spend most of my time around people who are not believers in Jesus, which is it's great to have those opportunities for evangelism. But as you well know, the Bible speaks to the reality of us, you know, staying, being rooted in faith community, and that being very important, you know, for our lives. I mean, think of Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch over yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one be test his own works, and see if he has a reason to boast." Or, you know, other well-known texts that sort of deal with this same sort of concept. You know, you think of James chapter 5, verse 16, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed." Or 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as you are doing." Proverbs 27:7, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." So, I mean, that's just a, you know, quick sample of, we have this encouragement to be in relationship with other believers. And we would say it's imperative for a healthy Christian walk. You know, we as people are very influenced by those that we're around. And of course, that isn't to say we don't engage with the world. We absolutely do, and certainly are called to. But we have to do it in a place of health. So I guess the first question I'd ask is, how in your experience, in your line of work, and in all this moving around, how have you managed to keep a healthy community in terms of with other believers, given all these different contexts and locations and the nature of who you spend most of your time around because of work and because of all these situations?
Right. No, I think it's definitely like you said there, those verses covered a big array of community, Christian community, and finding the people, like-minded individuals that are going to go and help bolster your faith, because that's crucial, finding those people that are going to be able to go and you're going to be related to those people you spend time with and you're involved with in jobs in general today. That's most of our time, most of our lives are spent at those jobs. So it's crucial to try and find people in those type of locations that you're going to be able to relate to on a faith-based level, because those are going to be the people that are going and reinforcing your perspectives or carrying you down if they're, you know, other their perspectives are versus what you actually believe in. And so it's crucial to find that. And in some situations, you don't necessarily find that, which is unfortunate, but it doesn't mean, I mean, I think at the end of the day, that's crucial, but I think also additionally is having that relationship, that personal relationship with God, and having that connection there versus, or through prayer, or through your Bible, reading your Bible, meditating like on what he's provided for us as far as scripture goes. That's crucial as well, because sometimes you'll find yourselves where there is no person to relate to on a faith-based level. You'll come to times where there's just like there is no one around, or you're by yourself completely, and there's really only thing you're leaning on is your prayer and what he's written down in the Bible here. And so that's, I mean, just as much important, I think, to try and rely on that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to begin with. So while, you know, community is important, that I guess you'd say what I'm hearing you say is that first step is really focusing on your personal relationship and walk with Christ, which definitely is not a foreign encouragement in scripture. I mean, I think of like Psalms 119, excuse me, I think is a great encouragement to that, you know, which says, how happy are those whose way is blameless, who live according to the Lord's instruction. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They follow his ways. You are commanded to keep your precepts and be diligent. And then further down in the text, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I have sought you with all of my heart. Do not let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Later on down, I think it's in verse 105, in that same chapter, it says, you know, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path.
Right.
So the encouragement being, of course, yes, yeah, that focusing in on Christ, on his word, in prayer, in that relationship becomes really important. But in terms of, though, Christian community, so you come into a place and you're not finding that community there. So, you know, you're still focusing on the word of God and prayer and engaging. What then would you say is the next step in terms of what to do at that point?
Well, I mean, once you've created that and you've established that, I mean, like you said, the going, even if you have a good, like-minded community that's pushing you forward in your faith, having that established by, you know, reading your Bible and staying in tune, that's crucial to keep you on that straight and narrow and keeping those who you're with on that same path. But I think additionally, once you kind of created and established that, going and ministering to those around you and trying to create that type of exposure to those that are around you, it helps to bolster that, not only your own faith, but it goes and creates a bigger community for you to be in, and then creates a more solid foundation there amongst that community. Because I think, honestly, if you have people that are outside of that community of faith, bringing people into that creates even stronger relationships, because you establish that with them. You've created that founding for them of a Christian lifestyle, of a Christian relationship. And so I think that creates an even stronger bond there, I would say, and helps go and kind of bolster and reinforce your relationship with Christ.
So can you give us a practical example of, I mean, how, like, what that actually looks like? So I've come into a new job or a new city or a new position, and I'm, you know, while daily in the Word, engaging with Christ and all that, I'm also meeting people. So how do I go from, how do I build that you're talking about?
How do you create that community or ministry? How do you go and minister to those outside? Well, I mean, quite frankly, I think it gets overcomplicated, because I think when you live a lifestyle where you are showing people that you are staying true to your standards of a Christ-like life, if you're going and staying in tune with what God put down as how we're supposed to live and conduct ourselves, people take notice of that. It's different. It's weird, because people don't do that regularly. It's an odd thing to see. And so when they see that, they take notice of it, and they're naturally going to be like, okay, well, why is this different? And it's not going to be a different, like, okay, why are you different as being in a negative light, or why are you a jerk, right? Because naturally, that's not what the Bible calls us to be, right? So if we're truly following his word and being loving, kind, generous, benevolent, accountable individuals that are going and being true to that, they're going to take notice of that, because kindness is not something that the world's accustomed to. Goodness is not something they're accustomed to. And so when they see that it's drawn, that draws them to what is different about you. It's not just really, I mean, people are going to try and go and do all these different ministry things and try and go and get involved with different types of, which is great, don't get me wrong, but a personal testimony, like your personal life and how you conduct yourself, speaks volumes in a world that is full of chaos, strife, fake news, and all the other stuff that comes along with that. Like people aren't used to genuine people, and when you're able to go and bring that to the table, it changes everything. And people want to be near that. They want to be involved with that. So naturally, I think it brings people in a very more easy way than creating different programs or different ways or different pamphlets to hand out. It's way more simple, I think, than all of that.
I like a couple different things you said there. The first point about, you know, obviously you're not going in as a jerk or not like, not drawing attention necessarily to,
right.
I live differently than you in a like, oh, hey, look at me, I'm awesome, or I'm better than
right.
you, or I'm a, it's just a, you know, when you live the way God calls us to live, you know, which we would argue when we live out the design of God, it leads to our best and then God's glory ultimately. And that's what you're talking about, is people
right.
are looking at this being like, oh, hey, I've noticed you don't do this, you know, when we go to the bar, you don't get drunk every time and you don't make then poor decisions and, you know, have all these other repercussion consequences, I guess you could say, in sort of a negative way. And instead, you know, have the clarity of mind, clarity of thought, clarity of control. I don't know, maybe that's a bad example, but I think it's grasping for an easy one. And then the other thing I thought was interesting is you're not talking here about, okay, I need to be a Christian example, which means I pretend like I'm totally perfect for these
right.
people. It's no, I'm actually very real with them. And the result is we then end up having real conversation. You know, why do I do what I do? Why do I seek after the design of God in my life? Why do I, you know, not, if I'm understanding what you're saying, right. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, it definitely comes down to that, creating that kind of natural kind of, and it really comes down to being quote unquote a normal person. What was created to be a normal person. You're not trying to be arrogant. You're not trying to be pious. But on the same note, you're trying to go and live a life of what we were originally created to do. So, I mean, and like I said, there's no, the normalcy is completely lost in today's culture. I mean, wherever you go, you know, no matter if it's a Western culture, Eastern culture, it's not a thing that's existent in the world today as a normal thing. So I think being normal as God created us to be, that's going to go on and necessarily go in and create that attraction to that, basically that testimony to go in and show people what that is. And at the end of the day, going and creating a fake testimony or trying to create a fake lifestyle to, you know, oh, I'm perfect. I'm, you know, everything's great and dandy and everything's just fantastic. That's naturally going to go in and push people away because A, it's going to intimidate, or B, they're going to see right through it and see exactly for what it is. It's just a show, theatric performance, and it's not real. It has no value to it. It's just a little, yeah, like I said, a dramatic performance that has no value to it. And I think that's huge merit there when you actually have a genuine lifestyle.
It actually, I mean, it makes tons of sense because you think about, you know, in your own life, when you've had people that are real with you, it's actually an endearing quality, you know. So when and I see this a lot more, you know, from a pastoral perspective, when I have people come into my office and confess, there's just a I guess you'd say Holy Spirit bonding in a sense that happens where you're like, man, now I respect them more because of their honesty, because of their realness. And then of course we can also then seek out the freedom and forgiveness that's in Christ and stuff. And so I'm curious, how have you seen that play out as, you know, as you've pursued community in this sense? Okay, these, especially with folks who are not saved, so they see the real, but how does that also provide greater gospel opportunity?
Like I said, I think honestly it goes and it creates a more genuine relationship there. Like you said, when we're completely honest and forthright, it brings some realism there because we're not perfect. We're people, we're fallible, and we are not God. And so taking that on as a responsibility is not our, it's not a responsibility to take on. And people see that for what it is. You're not going to go in and fake people into going and coming into Christ as a show, because they know that, you know, there's not, no one lives a perfect life. They already know that. And being a Christian is not going to go and fix that by any means. And I think honestly, what it comes down to a lot is the shame factor. I think a lot of Christian communities get into the shame factor of, okay, I've done this bad thing, but you know, I'm supposed to not be part of this bad thing. So therefore, I'm going to try and hide and cover up because I'm not going to be part of this anymore if I actually own up to this and say, okay, yeah, I messed up. I did this thing. The crucial thing there is that to strive for holiness. I mean, to be holy is the goal, but we will never have complete holiness without Christ, because he is completely holy. Striving for holiness is the key there, because A, we are not going to be able to do it on our own, and B, if we try to act like it's something that's there when it's not, it's going to go on and struggle through that. And people, like I said, people see that for what it is. And that's, we're not called to be that. We're not called to be completely spotless before heaven. That's Christ coming down and giving us his sacrifice and being able to go in that allotment for us, because we can't provide that for our own. That being said, not embracing our sinful nature and trying to go and take advantage of the fact that we're covered, because then that's not the key either. That's not striving for holiness. That's going and trying to use his sacrifice as an escape and be able to indulge in what is not holy. So I think that is just the key thing, that's striving for holiness.
Yeah, that's a great point. Of course, you know, John 15:5, Jesus is talking about how he is the vine, we're the branches, and if we abide in him, you know, then we bear fruit. But in John, you know, 15:5, he says, but apart from me, you can do nothing, which is to say that sanctification isn't ours. It's solely, exclusively through the work of Christ. I will correct slightly, just real quick. You said we're not called to holiness. We are called to holiness, but we are unable this side of heaven to perfectly complete it.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that's what you meant. I just, for our listeners, we just want to keep that clear.
Definitely.
Yeah, I imagine that, you know, you probably hear from people that you interact with on that level then that say, you know, it's really refreshing to meet a Christian that I can relate to in some sense, not that you're engaging with them in what is the world or what is the flesh in the same sense, but just being real, a real person that really struggles with sin in the flesh like everybody else. And yet they see you yielding to Christ as well, and allowing Christ to then do that work in you. Do you find that a lot of times that you have people that, you know, they're like normally very turned off to Christians or the gospel, or, but yet they'll talk to you and they'll interact with you and they'll hear out the gospel, maybe even ask questions about it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've seen both angles of it. I've seen people come across me and say, okay, wow, that's unique and fresh that, you know, you're relatable and you actually have a person that actually has some similarities. But I've transversely seen people come across as judgmental, like, wow, how can you call yourself a Christian and mess up? And it's very plain and simple. Like, I explain it to them that I'm basically, you know, I'm a person. I'm not a saint. I'm not God. I'm not, you know, someone who's going to be able to go and completely be, you know, blameless of anything. But at the same time, I explain that, you know, I mess up. I make mistakes here and there, and I try to go and correct those mistakes and strive for what I should do. I mean, I get angry. I go and do things that, you know, are, you know, not necessarily someone who's going to be perfect is going to go and do. But the same, the point of that is to correct that behavior and come back from it and not continue that. and be able to go and live a better life instead of going perpetuating that. And on both accounts, I've had people go and recognize that as being, okay, well, yeah, you know, that makes more sense. Because if even people that are going and saying, well, how is that a Christian going and saying, how's that normal Christian there? They are seeing that as, okay, I've not been able to go and be part of the church because I feel like that's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be perfect. It's supposed to be, you know, absolutely pure and without sin. And that gives them the opportunity to be like, okay, maybe I misjudged the church as a bunch of judgy, overpious people. Maybe it actually is open to people like me who are able to be able to live their lives and be able to go and strive for that holiness without having to go and have that persecution from the church.
Yeah, that's cool. That's always good to hear and see. I would say I've experienced the same in some senses. You know, when you're real with people, they're more willing to hear the gospel, to see who Christ is, to see the salvation that can be theirs, you know, to see the sanctifying work of Christ that could be theirs. And so that's really neat. And I think some of that is cultural and generational in terms of how people used to relate back when versus how they do now. Certainly, you know, millennials on down are much more relationally real versus, you know, older generations that you just didn't really talk about a lot of stuff. Right. And so some of that isn't, you know, we're definitely not saying that it's all, you know, people trying to hide stuff. That's the cultural context. And I think for a lot of people who grew up in the church, that's also a cultural context thing where it's like best foot forward all the time. And certainly we're not talking about celebrating sin. We don't do that. We don't encourage that or embrace that. But we are talking about being real with people, allowing them to see the full picture and how Christ has worked in that. I mean, one of the most compelling arguments for the gospel is somebody who has been transformed by it, by the work of Christ in their life. You know, I mean, I'm always amazed by the stories you hear from people. In fact, on this podcast, we've done interviews with people that, like, one example is a guy who grew up in a drug lord family, and he saw his dad, you know, kill people when he was 6 years old, and then they went and had ice cream. You know, that was life in a drug lord family, and it's a horribly tragic story. You know, his life is a horribly tragic story until Christ intervenes, you know, breaks into his story, into his life, into his heart. And then the result is now he actually ministers to people in that same world, all around the world, in fact, and sees, you know, Christ bring back to healing, bring back to wholeness what was very broken before. But going back to the original topic a little bit, one of the other commands of Scripture is to be in faith community. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25 says, "Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other all the more as we see the days are drawing near." And this is a text that's pretty debated today in our current context, because a lot of churches have been shut down, and there's really a discussion between pastors and church leaders over, you know, should the church be meeting? Should it not be meeting? I would certainly argue that Hebrews 10 is in the Greek an imperative command, which is to say that we must obey it. So here's the question. you move to a new area or you move to a new context. Let's say there isn't a church around. And I'm imagining, given, you know, your line of work, you've actually run into some of those situations where that right. literally isn't even an option on the table. Right. How do you then do church given that context?
Given that context where there's no faith-based community?
None directly. Nothing formal like a church.
Right. And that comes down to, I mean, I think Red Blues, to we previously was saying, we're saying about the church meeting or not meeting. The church I'm at right now, one thing that they were really doing, because pandemics were happening and down here we had a hurricane separating people out from being able to access the church, home groups became a crucial thing, which they had set up prior to, but they utilized them more. And I think that the same notion would be of if you didn't have necessarily a actual church or a set up community, going and creating that where you're at or finding someone who wants to go in and create that with you, and starting that locally. And that's kind of how it started from the beginning. It didn't start in fancy steeples and big buildings. It started in homes in secret. And so that they could go and meet because being persecuted by the Romans. And all throughout the ages, we've had different persecution of Christians over in Asian communities, over in China and a lot of communist type areas, but they've had to hide and they've had to go in and utilize whatever areas they could, not even in buildings, sometimes in just fields or in forests, because that's what they have today. But I think that comes down to it is finding the people. And that's creating the community that you need. I don't think having official organizations or structures are necessary in order to go and produce that. I think it really just comes down to getting those people that are going to be of like mind in the community. And if it comes to like you're not able to find that community, you're not able to go and get the community, creating that community, going, reaching out, and finding people to go and bring into that fold and creating from that a community.
Yeah, so you'd say that no matter where what context you've been in, that Christ has always provided some other Christians that come along, that you end up meeting and engaging with the result being that you're able to establish some form of what Hebrews 10 is calling you to, which is to be in community for the purpose of growth, for the purpose of being reminded of the truth of God, the word of God, and also to worship and celebrate who God is and what God has done.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. That's, I think, crucial going creating like your relationship and your faith and developing that, keeping that strong is crucial to finding people around you.
So I think the encouragement there is to say that if you're in a new context where you don't have established community, you don't have good connection, just recognize, first of all, the importance, like Ryan talked about earlier, of keeping your faith in tact by spending time in the Word, getting close to the source, the revelation of God, of His work, of His purpose and plan and design. And then, of course, the time with Him in prayer, engaging, and then, of course, reaching out to the community in which, you know, God has placed you, both to build community and relationship, but also to be able to share the gospel, to be real, to point to the beauty of God's sanctifying work in our lives. And then lastly, of course, you know, not using that excuse to avoid building faith community, to be able to be in corporate worship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. As Ryan's attesting here, and certainly I believe as well, God will provide those people in every context, regardless. You'll find them. They'll show up as you share your faith, as you live out the design of God. Even as Ryan's saying, a lot of times I don't even have to have heard from somebody to know they're a Christian. Sometimes you see them and you think, you know, I'll bet you they are. And then, of course, when you engage them, you find out that that's true and are able to build those connections and hopefully be able to encourage each other in that growth.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.